Okay. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We left off last week at verse 23, right into the meat of the Lord's Supper. But what we will do is just a quick recap, just a preparation. Yeah, well, Paul is, verse 17, he says, that now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. He couldn't commend them on their coming together because they came together in a divisive manner. It wasn't for the edifying of the body, nor for the furtherance of the gospel in that city. He says, for I think, verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And we will find out how they took of it, partook of it. He says, for in verse 21, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So he is correcting them for their behavior. It was not orderly. It was not in charity. And they lost focus of the reason why they were coming together. When you have a what they call a love feast, in this particular case, he said, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. When they come together, their focus should have been on the Lord. It should have been not only on him, but on the body as a whole. A communion. You know what a communion is? A common union where they should have been partaking together, remembering what he has accomplished for them as a whole. A fellowship dinner. You know, in Acts, when the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to multiply and increase, and the scripture said they met every week. Acts chapter 3. I got a man that's on the case. Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2. And verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's not the verse I wanted, but that's
it's verse 46.
Verse 46, and yes. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What I wanted was how they did it.
One accord.
What? Single mind. And heart, breaking bread in prayers, and it says, and they did eat their meat with gladness.
And that if they poured it to all men as every had need, which they certainly weren't doing in crowds.
Right.
They were taking their own suffering.
And 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. That's a good example, right? That's how it should have been conducted. But when you get to Corinth, he says in verse 21, he says, "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken." That sounds like fellowship meal and sitting and eating with gladness and singleness of heart, praising the Lord. not even close to a fellowship dinner, was it? So when Paul, and he gives verse 23, he says, "For I have," this is the corrective part of his letter, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." You think now, Paul wasn't there. He says, "I received this how?" So we got it by revelation. And it's not something he felt like, you know what, that was a good idea, and we should carry this on. He said, "I got this by revelation. And from the Lord himself." And I thought, why did the Lord give Paul that revelation? You know, there's people in the grace message, the grace circle, that say, you know, we shouldn't take the Lord's Supper because it was Old Testament. So look at Matthew 26. We kind of left off at this point last week, so we'll pick up Matthew 26, verse 26. As they were eating, now this is the Lord has, he's eating the Passover. He's meeting with his disciples to eat the Passover.
So he's still alive.
Say it again.
So he's still alive.
He's still alive. He's starting out to eat the Passover. Because once, well, if he's eating the Passover, now he's getting ready to become the Passover. So if he did not eat the Passover, he would have transgressed. So he has to eat the Passover to keep the feast. The Lord requires that they keep the three feasts, and this is one of them. So he has to eat the Passover. And he tells him, "Go tell this man that this is where we'll eat the Passover, at this house." 26:26, he says, "And as they were eating," you know what? Let me back up just to verse 17. Just read this. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Yep. Or like you said, Ed, yeah.
Right.
Yay, but yeah. But he said, thou hast said. You know, and we talked about last week, you know what? Those things went right over their head.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put it together. But the Lord is, he's eating the Passover, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which... I was just checking to see if you are with me. Just checking. He said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for how many? For many. Who do you think he meant? He said many, right? And you know, at the time, it was exclusively for Israel. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So here we got over here. He says, I won't eat this again until what? Until I, what's that? Until we do it anew in the kingdom. Okay. Look at Mark. Chapter 14. Verse 22. Mark 14:22. He says, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup when he had given thanks. He gave it to them, and they drank. Then they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed. There it is again. He says, for what? For many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. There's one for the kingdom, there's two for the kingdom, right? New. What? That's what?
Future.
Thank you. All right. Luke 20, I believe it was 22. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. With desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Key word. He said, now I got one future, but I got one future that is what? That is fulfilled. If you fulfill something, what does that mean?
Check.
Or finish it. You know, it's when the day of Pentecost came in chapter 2, they were waiting. And they said, will thou at this time do what? restore
again.
Will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he says, that's not for you to know the times, seasons, but go and wait, and then you'll receive this. And it said this, and when the day of Pentecost was what?
Fully
come.
That was the real one.
When it was fully come, when it was fulfilled. I'm trying to see if we can. You know, the Lord has, in Leviticus 23, there are 7 feast days that the Lord has to fulfill. He is the feast day. You know, Paul said, the Lord is our Passover. Well, that lamb back there was just the type. You know, it was a shadow of what was to come. He says he's the Passover. And you have unleavened bread and the first fruits, which was his resurrection. And then they waited 50 days and then Pentecost. All right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Say it. Say that.
I don't know what it is.
What, the Pentecost?
No, I'm trying to. I'm talking to Ed about it, and you trying to get us to make a connection.
Oh, okay. I would make that connection. So, when they sacrificed him as a Passover, when the Lord came out, when they came out of Egypt. They came out from what?
Bondage.
Came out from bondage. They came out from oppression. Right? They came out to do what?
Serve.
Serve where?
In the promised land. So we're talking about the army.
In the promised land. Yeah, they came out to serve in the promised land. If I had a synonym for the promised land, what would I call it?
Canaan?
Yeah, well, that's the proper name for it.
Kingdom,
yes. In particular, you know what? God called it his sanctuary. Do you remember that? When he came out, he said they're leading them into the sanctuary. So when they took the Passover, they came out from this to serve in the kingdom. And when they ate it, he says, eat it and eat it ready to go. So this was just a type of what the Lord would be. He is the Passover. He was dying for these many to bring them out of bondage, to bring them out of oppression, that they may go and serve him in what? The land that he promised, which is out here. And he says, he's now in with Israel, he said this, that's why I want you to keep the Passover. You and your children. I don't want you to miss it. And when they said, what meaneth this? When they ask you, why are we doing this? Why we do this? He said, you tell them, this is the day that the Lord brought us out of bondage. That's why we do this. Right. So they kept it. They kept it until. And then he says, I've waited a long time to eat this Passover with you. He said, but after this one, no more till it be what? Fulfilled. It won't be fulfilled until I get you over here to serve me in my sanctuary, in my kingdom. Okay.
Yeah.
connection is made.
Yes.
He says, but I can check that off because that's what the Lord has appointed me to be. I am, when John sees him, he says, behold, a Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He said, there he is. Here he comes. In Hebrews, it says it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats would take away sin. Well, we knew that. And the Lord said, but a body you've given me. And he just happens to call him the Lamb. You know, in Exodus, he says, you pick this lamb. He says, when you pick it, look at Exodus 12. Exodus 12, he says, and the Lord spake, 12 verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. He's giving them all these first. This is the first month. This is the beginning of years to you. You know us. I like this one. Paul said this. If any man be in Christ, he is what? It's all starting over. What the Lord's saying, he says, what happened prior to this? It's history. He said, we're starting new. It'll be new for you. He said, this is the... I know it's the fourth month, the heathen month. He said, but this is the first month to you. You know, God can change times. You know that? He can change times when he wants to. He gave them a whole new calendar. He said, this is the first month for you. Well, it's April. No, this is your first month. Don't you like that?
Doesn't it say somewhere here in the Old Testament, not the Antichrist talking about changing time season, doesn't it say something about the Lord changing time?
It does say about the Antichrist changing time.
No, I'm saying I'm not referring to that, but doesn't it say something about the Lord? I made a note of it.
Not sure. But he said this is the first, what? The beginning of months and the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. And the house, I like that, the 10th day. That's, what is it, James?
I was trying to fulfill, was that over in Luke?
Luke 22. He says, verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. They won't lack. You know, I remember reading it's a little booklet by, I think it was C.H. McIntosh, called The All-Sufficiency of Christ. Just a little booklet, but... and that's, you know what? He's sufficient for all. Won't run out. You know, well... It's enough for that house, and if it has to be, for the next house. He says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood, and strike it on the side post and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, all those, he gives those specifics about the first year, the first month, the first, you know what, it'd be the firstling of the flock, a male, that's a year. All these things he's given, and it's all triggering for Christ. You eat it in the 10th day. All these things points to them in his sinlessness, his perfection, his dedication, without blemish. So when he comes, he has to be what? Sinless. You can't, if I'm going to take away sin, I can't have sin. I don't have enough to pay my way and your way if I'm a sinner. But the Lord says, I'm rich in forgiveness and mercy. But you see the I was going to say the specs, what they give, right? Was the Lord a male without blemish? Mm-hmm. He said, was he? He said the first a year what verse is that? Oh, sorry. He said, without blemish, a male of the first year. You know what? Why did he say a first year? Well, I'll tell you why. When he brought them out of Egypt, he says, everything that opened the matrix, you dedicate to me. That's the firstborn. And he said, a year is when they dedicated it to the Lord. So when the Lord comes, he was completely dedicated to his Father, wasn't he? Here's a clue. When you see those numbers pop up, that's where, when you look at all these things, you got the 10th, you got the first, this can be the beginning. If you're beginning, that's what? First, the 10th, the first, the year, the first year. What do they all have in common? Remember when we talked about a long time ago about these numbers? The ones, the tens, the 100s, the 1,000s, the 10,000s. Y'all don't remember that? Well, now you can remember this, and this is just cursory, you know, just when you start reading those things and you look at them, always think of this. One word will really sum it up for you. Honor. And more than likely you're going to see it's going to be towards God. So when you read a passage, you'll see it'll amplify that passage to you when you look at it.
Like the 10 to 10,000,
like
is that like the
and those numbers stand by themselves too, but you look at that, like he'll say, the Lord cometh, just for example, the Lord cometh with
10,000 of the saints.
Or he has in the kingdom and he will reign. In the millennium, he will reign
1,000 years. Owns the cattle on 10,000 hills.
David has slain his, Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his 10,000s. It goes on and on and on and on. But when you see this, that's why, you know what the scripture said after that? David. I think it was G-A-T. So David So David got him a name. So everybody, you would say, I think it used a term in there. Well, anyway, they spoke highly of David. Everybody honored David. So Saul, you know what Saul did? He got mad and he sought to kill him. But I like that. He said, so David got him a name. And I think he said they bespoke by David. Did you hear about David? Did you hear what David did? You know what David did? David did this. And you're here with Saul. He's, let me get back here. 1 Corinthians 11. So he says, the same night which the Lord, 24, which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now here's Paul. He's not using it in the same way. I have to erase this. He's not using it as they used it. They were looking out to what? To the what? They were looking out what? Hello?
Something to come.
They were looking out for it to be fulfilled what? In the future. And Paul said this. He says, well, I got this by revelation, what he did that night. So you look at what he did that night, and he says, I'm doing this. He said, but I won't do it again till we do it over there together.
So he's saying he won, not us. He won.
Jesus said, yeah. Who's we? Who's we? Who is he talking to?
To the Israelites.
Okay, are you an Israelite?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you doing? Why is Paul telling you about what he did the night he was betrayed? All right, let's get down the road then.
He was passing it on to us.
He was passing it on to us, and right, you know that. That's one thing you do know, that Paul is saying, I got this by revelation.
Okay.
So he says, now the same night, in which, verse 23, he said, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Right? We know about that. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He said, this is my body. Verse 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. He said, this is my blood. And he said, this is the new testament in my blood. He says, he says what? He says, as what? That should have threw a big red. Should have threw a big red light up, shouldn't it? He said, now he said, as often as you do this, as often as you eat this,
whenever you do it,
as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, he said, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wait a minute. Is he talking about here? Or he's talking about what? Until he come. What we call the rapture. He says, now you, he says, I told them we won't do it what?
Until it's fulfilled.
Why couldn't they do it? Why couldn't they keep doing it?
Because he said
himself. Why couldn't they keep doing it?
Because
it,
They couldn't. Why couldn't they?
Because he said he wasn't going to do it with them.
Why did he tell them that?
Because the
he was gone.
He was gone.
Maybe because the testimony was in him, and they were.
Because the what? He said this. The this is the what? New Testament in my blood.
Their New Testament doesn't start.
Their New Testament.
Okay. Yeah.
Is here.
So now it's fulfilled. They can serve in the new covenant.
Not quite.
Yeah.
You know what Paul says in Hebrews? Hebrews
9:16. Is that the testator?
Yeah, say that. The testator, he says, the testament is not a force until after the death of the testator. But there's another passage that says this. This is my covenant with them.
Right.
When I shall come. So, here you go. Remember you said, when the net said, I don't get the connection. So here you got this. Then you got trumpets, Day of Atonement, and then tabernacles right here. He brings them into the land. That's trumpets. They call the ingathering. Day of Atonement is when they, in that day, when they take away their sins. The Day of Atonement. Remember the great Day of Atonement where the priest would go into the temple and he would make that once a year sacrifice for all the sins of the people and himself? He says, well, there's a day coming. Well, they'll fulfill that. It'll be the real one. Well, he already did it here. It just won't be fulfilled till here. And then they'll reign in that kingdom with him. That's the tabernacles right there, where he causes them to dwell in booths. I know. That's, you know what? It's I was gonna say just go with it, but you know what? Just pack it in there, and
as you read
along, and you'll say, "Oh, that's what the Lord meant. That's what He meant."
How does that tie in to when he told us to remember him?
Okay. Now we're going to find out. He said, how does that tie in? Why did he told them that we won't do it until I do it new here? See, this is basic mystery, prophecy and mystery. They won't enjoy the kingdom till out here. No, Paul said this. He says that he has translated us from the power of darkness into what? He has translated us from the power of darkness, the bondage and sin, into the kingdom. Where? You mean out here? Oh, you must. Up here? Ah, okay. So, here's one thing about this. There's one thing, this is something in Scripture that's is prominent. It's always there. James. Which, whenever you see this term, very simple term like that. Eat and drink. Or eating and drinking. It always will refer you to something like this. A kingdom. A king. A rule. Or ruler. Or war, or battle, conquer, reign, it's all associated with that. So, that's why the Lord said this. He says, I won't do it again until here. Because the fight's not over yet for Israel. Mm-hmm. They still have to go through the tribulation. The Lord comes back. He destroys all his enemies and makes the enemies his footstool. Then they enjoy that. Then the king will eat and drink. And they'll celebrate. Hallelujah. Happy good time. As we did it. I'll give you an example. Abraham. He hears that he got your nephew. Lot. He says, okay. Okay. Genesis.
Three men come up?
Huh? Oh, no. Genesis. Genesis.
I'm just curious about something. Because earlier in the verse when we were going through the part about the head covering, and he was saying because of the angels. And so we're doing this often. Is that not... We're testifying that manifest
of God? Yeah, I didn't realize that. We got a lot more verses to go. I didn't realize that was in that. We might. Well, we won't get to that verse, but yes. That's what he says. When you show something, there's something to be shown. So, Genesis.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I
Genesis. Genesis 11. Let's start. 14:11. You okay, Louise? I know. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went... You know the victual... Anyway. He says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Esau and brother of Anar, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. You know what? That little term there, that means brought back. He redeemed Lot and what he had and his people. Now, the next one is what we want. And we'll stop at this. Look at the next verse. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the what? Priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. There it is. Possessor of heaven and earth. Now, if you know anything about Melchizedek, was he greater or lesser than Abraham?
Greater.
He was greater. Why is Melchizedek coming and blessing Abraham?
Because Abraham has been chosen by the Lord for something special.
He just won the battle with the Lord.
He just won. Abram just won the battle. But, Melchizedek, he's future. His time is... You know what? That's why the Lord told the Hebrews, he says, I like to say a whole lot about Melchizedek, but not right now. But the point is, Abram, he goes, he defeats those kings, and right after he gets through, we know Abram's God's man, don't we? Mm-hmm. And he promised Abram what?
A king, a land, and
yeah, all that. All the kingdom. In all practical reasons, Abraham was what?
He was God's man.
He was a king. And when he went and defeated those other kings, here comes Melchizedek with, let's do what? Eat and drink. Why? He tells you why. He says, blessed be the Most High God. Blessed be, he said, blessed be Abram. He said, verse 20, he said, blessed be Abram in verse 19. And he said, blessed be 20, blessed be God, who hath delivered what? Thine enemies into thy hand. And look at this. And he gave him boy, you can kick that like a football, okay? It's so the king, he comes out, they eat and drink, celebrate his victory. He brought them back, redeemed them. The Lord comes out, when he brings them out of Egypt, they eat the Passover. They were supposed to keep the Passover as a memorial until the Passover comes. And when he comes, he'll fulfill that in the kingdom. But right now, Paul says, I got this by revelation for you. He says, what you guys are doing, you're missing it. He said, you come in, you're eating and drinking, you got your own meal, you got your own basket, you got your own drinks. He said, you don't even know what's going on here. He said, I can't praise you for this. He says, should I praise you? I praise you not. And he gives me, he says, I got this by revelation. Now, we'll have to finish that up next week. I know it's a little sketchy, but maybe next week it'll